Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
In Revelation 1:11, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Each of these churches have a special message, represent a historical timeline, and abound in God's amazing grace. So join in the conversation as we discuss the seven letters of the church age through God's amazing grace. Now, Janie, I guess the place we need to start today is just to look at the timeline of each of the churches that have a letter written to them in Revelation 2 and 3. Now, we've been discussing this for quite some time, just going over each one of the letters and the issues that they dealt with in the time that they were living. But we haven't really discussed the timelines altogether and looking at how God has a remnant in each timeline and how God's grace is abounding in each church age.
You understand that every one of the churches is at some point in time alive today, and certain areas can be experiencing one part where another area can be experiencing another part. And here we can have people living in the church at Ephesus, great workers, great servers, guarding for the truth, but they don't have their first love.
Well, that just makes it an individual thing, right?
Well,
because that's what I've always seen the churches as, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, correct?
Yes, but the goal of the churches was to operate as one body with Christ as the head, and each member of the church working in oneness and harmony with others as the fingers, the toes, and what have you. And there's churches throughout this nation right now that are operating as church in Ephesus, but they don't have a first love. We've got denominations that are working without the person of Jesus Christ being the dominant figure, but they don't recognize it. We can see the lack in every one of these churches, including Laodicea. But Philadelphia, instead of seeing the lack, we see the sufficiency. And the reason we see the sufficiency is the way the Lord opened up, because He doesn't open up with a need for them to correct. He just opens up declaring who He is, because the remnant is walking in who He is in holy and truth. And to think about, we have the privilege of living in the truth of Philadelphia, even though not every church is going to be practicing Philadelphia. That is the church where God says He is right now working. And that's why we get all the good writers, because all the good writers were back in the Philadelphian area, when the truth and the holiness of God was not perverted, twisted, substituted, or watered down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Janie, when you say that Philadelphian era, you're talking about from 1800 AD continuing into today, that the Philadelphian era is right now, starting from back then.
Yes, and it will really continue until the time of rapture. But we need to recognize that as the church as a whole did not hold to the truth, there was that minority remnant that did.
And that's who he's talking to here, is just the faithful few.
Yes.
Within the body of Christ.
Christ.
Okay.
And we need to recognize that even though we are a corporate structure with Jesus Christ being our head, and we being the parts of the body that support the head and submit to the head, that as the time comes that we are moving into another church era, this is the last age that freely can give the gospel out.
until we get into a time of the tribulation.
Okay.
So we need to treasure this time, but recognize that it's going to be more on an individual basis than that the whole church body is functioning the way it should.
Okay.
But listen, what is a minor remnant? How about two? How about three?
Yeah.
Because the Lord says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst, and we can ask what we need according to His name for His glory. And He says, I'm committed to do it. But you know, Sharon, as we're talking, let's just see if we can kind of recap the time frames that the churches were living in and see if we can find a point of grace.
Even though these were written in the Bible, these were actual churches that were living at the time that they were written, correct?
That's correct. Basically, the New Testament had been written, John was writing in A.D. 96, approximately, before he died. He was the only one that died of old age. All the rest of the disciples were martyred, just for the record.
Okay.
And so he was giving the last love letter from the heart of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
So at the time that these were written by John, these were literal churches during his life. But they also represent a period of time in history.
That's absolutely correct, Sharon. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew what these churches would have to go through in their development.
Okay.
So He is giving accommodations. He's giving warnings.
And corrections,
yes. And we have to recognize something that's hard to wrap our brains around. But the God of grace controls from outside of time and space.
Okay.
He is eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So He could tell John what to write, knowing how the people would respond, how they would fumble and fail, and He's giving them directions. It's just like when you raise your children. You don't know maybe every incident that they're going to do, but you can say, be careful here.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that can happen to you. Don't go play out in the street be careful how you are at school. Be careful of your behavior. Be careful of your words.
If this happens, then this could happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you allow this, then that will happen.
Yes, right. Yes. So, you know, at the very first church was the church at Ephesus, and it really began from about 33 A.D. and went up to about 100 A.D., and I'm not going to give you exact dates because even the great theologians have some variants on exactly how each of these churches were the most active.
So what you're saying when you talk about time, these are the eras in which Ephesus represented.
You get it.
Okay.
All right. So the first church in Revelations 2 that we've already discussed in other lessons is the church that really was working for the Lord, but Sharon, they had left their first love.
Okay.
But grace didn't leave them. Grace was still there showing, I have a solution for you where you are weak.
Okay.
And the Lord was giving them the option to follow through with His plan of grace for them.
Okay.
And He had marvelous promises for them if they would become overcomers. And if you are an overcomer, you are walking in grace.
Okay.
Now, things change.
So Ephesus is the church age that started immediately after Jesus ascended into heaven and continued up until the time that they were scattered because of torture and persecution, which led to the church of Smyrna.
The onslaught from the persecutions from the outside, from the inside, caused them to really be dispersed historically.
Okay.
Rome was destroyed in A.D. 70. There was persecution for the church at Ephesus. And, you know, it took them into a time of suffering. And that is really made known through the church at Smyrna.
Okay. So, and they had persecutions in Smyrna for over 200 years.
They did.
Okay.
And there are historical accounts that there were seasons. I don't want people to look at the church at Smyrna and think everybody was martyred.
Okay.
They weren't. But everybody went through difficult times of suffering. And let me make a point here on grace. I'm sure there was many fears as they were living in this particular time of suffering and difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon, grace is available to us at all times. But we fear many times death if we are into persecution or even our illness.
Yes.
And I need to say, God gives a special dying grace. But we don't get it until we're dying.
Oh, okay.
And so we have all these fears that we're going to be harmed and all right.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord's saying, my grace, my person will be with you. But dying grace is for the dying.
Right.
And you're not dying. You're just going through some tough times. So for those that are not quite sure about what's going on, don't let fear rob you of the reality of the grace that will be with you.
And, you know, fear robs us of so much. We will make wrong decisions, bad choices, be paralyzed. And then, because of fear, we will compromise.
And guess what happened? We now have an example at the church at Pergamos. Because you know what? God promised the people at Smyrna that it would be for a season, and if they would hold fast, they would move out of that. Well, now we get the representative of what the church at Pergamos did. Oh, we're no longer having to fear for our life. Let's relax.
Okay.
And when we relax in our Christianity, when we relax in our intense desire to make the Lord first in our life, what happens? We get comfortable, and we want easy street.
Right.
And this is the church where really compromise was birthed.
Well, Janie, when we relax, we let our guard down, and we're not mindful of the things that we are getting involved in and doing and being a part of. So then compromise becomes easy because it takes an effort to stand against. And that's what they did here at Pergamos. And their compromise opened the door for them to allow false gods and false doctrines into their, not only their assembly, but into their hearts.
And when we allow that compromise, then we are really deciding that we want to live with temporal values and we want to live on easy street.
And then we teach our children that.
Exactly. Exactly. We pass it on to the next generation. And, you know, that's what really happened, because what Pergamos did in accepting the world in, Thyatira then accepted it in steroids. It went totally into false religions and the enforcement of false religions on people in the church.
Okay.
And people in the workplace.
Well, that's one thing that we really need to be careful of, because if we compromise as parents, as Christians, then we teach the next generation to compromise. And what we do in moderation, oh, just a little compromise, they'll do a lot with a little more compromise.
That's true. And you know what? This church at Thyatira was known as the Dark Ages.
Okay.
And it went for almost 1,000 years.
Oh, my.
What it must have been like to be knowing that there was a God, knowing that you had heard about him, but now you have no access to him because the people who teach you about the Word of God have taken it and put it under their exclusive domain. If you want to know something about the scriptures, you must go to the government or a religious affiliation.
So you had to be part of some sort of elite group to be able to have access to the scriptures. And then you could interpret it any way you wanted to.
Oh, that sounds like what we're doing today, Sharon. We were supposed to have progressed a little. But you know what? Grace is still there, even during the Dark Ages. We hear of stories of how people persevered when they did not have the resources that they needed. But Sharon, they still had grace.
Yeah.
And we will live throughout the ages learning about how over 50 million people during this time gave their life in martyrdom because of the grace of God and the hope that they knew that they had with Him. He gave them that dying grace when it was necessary. Now, here's a sad point. 1,000 years, 50 million people. In America, since the 70s, we've now had somewhere, the numbers vary, between 54 and 56 million people, unborn people, martyred, killed in the womb.
So what took them 1,000 years to do, we've done in just a...
less than a half a decade.
Yeah.
All right. That causes us to really probably get very discouraged and depressed, but grace has not moved. And by the way, grace is extended to those that deserve it. Oh, but nobody deserves grace, does it?
I was going to say, and the undeserving.
And that was, I was putting that in as a pun. None of us deserve the grace that we have that we have so richly been given. But again, the Lord's grace is active. It doesn't vary. It's always consistent. So during this time of chaos, God had a few, shall we say, a few good men that stood for the truth. And they went about doing what the Lord enabled them to do by His grace. And the Reformation Age was born. And that lasted, from around the mid-1500s to about the 1800s.
And that's represented in Sardis.
And that,
the Sardis Church.
In Sardis. Okay. But wait a minute. If you go to Revelations 2 and 3, it says, you think you're alive, but you're dead.
Right.
You have a name, but you don't have any life.
Sardis is a dead church?
Yes, and I guess maybe the way we can best describe that is they were probably going to church for the country club set.
Oh, okay.
Or they were going because they had a motive. Maybe it was a business progression. In other words, they were dead to anything of why the church had been composed, which was the life of Jesus Christ.
Well, hadn't they set that in place in Thyatira that they had to follow these rules? So they were probably going to church because it was a rule.
Well, they had trade unions, and if you didn't do what the trade union said, you couldn't work. You couldn't support your family.
So it was basically a duty. So that's why they were called the dead church.
Yes, because they had no spiritual life that they were functioning in.
Because they didn't have the scriptures, the truth of the scriptures.
But grace abounds, and so the Lord, in His grace, solved that problem because He had a few good men invent the printing press.
Okay.
He also had a few good men make translations into different languages so that the common person could now have access to the scriptures that had been denied them for 1,000 years.
Wow.
And it's hard for us to wrap around living less than 70 years what it would be like if we had never had the scriptures.
Right.
So now the layperson could read the scriptures. And here is where grace abounded. As they read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit enlightened them, and now the Philadelphia church was born.
Right.
The missionary church, the ministry church, the only church that really had nothing ill to say about them, except for Smyrna. Smyrna didn't have any bad thing to say. He just said, you hold fast to what you have.
Okay.
But to the Philadelphia church, it's like, now we're going to come out of winter and it's spring and we're going to blossom and the church is going to increase by leaps and bounds and everyone on planet Earth will have access to the truth.
Wow.
And that's still going on today, even though the Philadelphian era of this particular church was about from 1800 to, well, I'm going to revamp that, probably from about 1500 to 1800.
Okay.
Some of them call it the Puritan era.
Okay.
But it's when the truth was taught as the truth foundation. It was doctrinal. Now, some people, I heard someone say, we don't really need all the doctrine anymore. We just need to love one another. And after I got my fingernails from coming off the claws of the chalkboard, I understand we don't need legalism. And some people put doctrine and absolute truth as legalism.
In that category.
And you can be legalistic, or you can be free in the truth of the scripture.
Okay.
All right? And so we need to know that...
It's all about if you know the grace, right?
I hope we don't wear that word out today, but I'm loving using it, believe me. So, again, Philadelphian era had a timeline. This timeline is when the remnant flourished and grew and grew and grew and is still going on.
Okay. So this is the remnant, the Philadelphia churches, the remnant that came from even back in Ephesus.
Yes.
There's this remnant it throughout all of the churches that has stood fast.
And they're really known in a category as the overcomers.
Okay.
And we probably in the near future need to just talk about what is an overcomer that is a part of the remnant of the true church that will now stand in the day of apostasy when the church at Laodicea,
okay,
which is now in active participation in dimming the light of God. And Laodicea will go on until the Lord says, it's time for me to get my church.
Okay.
And the thing about Laodicea is, hey, we're doing great. We are just totally satisfied with our performance. In fact, we're so satisfied with our performance, we don't need the scriptures. And, you know, we don't think we really need Jesus Christ anymore. We've got a church that works just fine with the world. And so,
do you think they're actually thinking that they don't need Jesus Christ anymore, or do you think that that's just an attitude that comes across through their self-satisfying behavior?
You know, there's different thoughts on that. I've talked to some people who have said Jesus Christ and the cross was great. It was a one-time event, Janie, and I'd agree. So that's history. We've moved on past that.
So we've moved past Jesus.
And we've moved past the cross.
And past the cross. Okay.
Then that means we probably really need to make some studies on the cross, because the cross is as relevant today as Jesus Christ is relevant today. But if you do away with one, you'll probably do away with the other one.
Mm.
Some people today in the church at Laodicea are hungry for the word. But the church is so busy serving, having socials, having events, having big concerts, going and doing this, having trips, mm-hmm. that the people who are really still searching need to encounter a person of the remnant that is willing to stand the test.
Right.
And sometimes, I can't say when you stay in a church that is not proclaiming the gospel, but you stay in as a light in darkness. Sometimes you're called out of that to take a small group to where you can teach without restraint. There's multiple different ways that we have to handle the church at Laodicea, because it is the church that is really apostasy. But the remnant is still light, Sharon. And we are back to the church at Ephesus, where we want to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity.
So we really need to look at Ephesians 1:18. I ask that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So the heart has eyes. God's grace is always available to any and all that is available to all that God is.
I couldn't have said it better, Sharon.
And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.